Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome back to See Also. I'm Brodie Lancaster.
And I am Kate Jinx. Hey, BL.
Hi, Jinxie. I feel like based on what you've been up to the last couple of weeks, I need like to take notes on your Melbourne itineraries.
Well, I was looking at your stories over the weekend and showing them to my girlfriend being like, look where Brodie is. Can we go there?
If you're one of the many, I was about to say many dozens, no, half a dozen people who replied to my stories saying, what is this? I went to the Titanic exhibition at Melbourne Museum and I'm about to follow it up with a trip to the Titanic restaurant in Williamstown. It has to happen.
It does have to happen. Oh yeah, that's right. You were telling me about that place.
Yeah, the Titanic themed restaurant in Williamstown. I've never been. I don't know anyone who's ever been.
Why is it? Why?
Don't know.
Okay. Well, you'll tell us.
Who knows? I'll do a little research report and show and tell after I go.
Report back.
Yeah.
Did you get your portrait done? Do they do like that sort of thing or is it true to the actual?
No, I'm sorry.
Historical moment.
I feel like what you want to do is go to Sovereign Hill just quietly.
Oh, I've been to Sovereign Hill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, the Titanic exhibition at Melbourne Museum is until the 21st of April. It might be coming off later as a recommendation on this podcast. But I went on Saturday with my friend Sinead. We'd booked in like 5 weeks early. Guys, you've got to book.
Because hang on, Sinead went to one of them in Ireland, didn't she?
Yeah, in Belfast.
Yeah.
She brought me back a Heart of the Ocean keyring.
Amazing. Yeah, I remember reading about it in her book.
Yeah. She's a big Titanic head. She was going to wear her Titanic, the movie, t-shirt and then didn't. And I wish she had.
Yeah, she should have.
But they're doing like a high tea at Melbourne Museum as well, which is like $70 a ticket. I saw a girl who has less followers than me on TikTok get invited to go and I got really jealous. Didn't go. Is this a subtweet to Melbourne Museum to invite me? Maybe. But I loved it. The gift shop. Oh my God. I spent a lot of money at the gift shop.
I imagine you did.
But I bought a bookmark for the first time in my life, like a really fun Titanic bookmark. But they had rugs, like blankets and cushion covers with like the white star line design like they would have had in like the second class, third class cabins.
Do you think King Princess would go on the Titanic experience?
It's like a family tree.
Yeah.
Up a family tree. No, I don't. I wish you would.
I wish you
would. I wish they were playing King Princess music in there.
They should do live music. They should do an activation.
Oh my God.
A Titanic activation.
When you walk in, you like get your ticket scanned and then the next person you walk through hands you like a boarding pass to get on the Titanic. And we were like, ha ha ha, this is so cool. Like took a selfie with it and then realized on the back, it's like filled out as if it were a real boarding pass and has the history of, I was a second class woman whose tragedy had befallen her life. She had a baby who died. She had a husband who died. She was like on the Titanic to go somewhere else and then died. Like, it was these really tragic real life stories. So it's setting the tone before you even go in that, yeah, shit's grim.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. It didn't go well for any of them.
Well, I look forward to your roundup of it later on in the show, but I think I do need to go.
Kate, you absolutely, like, any twinge of like, oh, this looks fun from my Instagram stories, you got
to
go.
Because I'm not going to the Garden show this year, so maybe I'll put my money in the same complex, but.
Well, you could do both. They're in the, you get off at the same tram stop.
And then go see June too.
A perfect triple threat. I texted you on the weekend and previous guests of the pod, Courtney and Stella, because I saw a woman who was giving very much Mother God sitting outside the Melbourne Flower and Garden Show at the trunk of a tree.
And it wasn't me.
It wasn't you,
weirdly.
For
the first time, it wasn't me.
You were inside doing the same thing. She had like a flower crown on and like things just like scattered amongst her. And she was sitting cross-legged at the base of a tree, like just staring into traffic and I think talking, but I didn't want to go close. And then when I came out of the Titanic experience, like several hours later, I was waiting at the tram and I looked for her and she had gone, but all her shit was just still there. Like a messy little blanket covered in bark and dirt and like a candle or something.
Oh.
Mother.
Mother.
She's gone to ingest some silver elsewhere.
At least we know she's safe.
Is she?
I don't think so.
Psychically, she's not safe. You've been having a very chic time.
Yeah, I have. My sister, beloved sister, came from Sydney a couple of weeks ago and last weekend. And because I have been like doing weekends, I feel like
you've been enjoying your life.
There is more time in life. It's bizarre how that works.
Same here, girl.
It's really,
yeah.
Turns out weekends are.
Some people do stuff. I didn't open my laptop for 2 days.
I feel like once, I would actually say twice a year, you and I are like, hey, have you heard of weekends? And then by the time we say it again, no, we had forgotten.
It's that 8 months exist. Is fast. Yeah,
absolutely.
I was fucking exhausted by Sunday at like 6 p.m. though from quote unquote having a weekend.
Yeah, that's the thing. So yeah, so my sister came to town just to visit and it was just her and me and Top Chef and it was so lovely. We kind of fit a lot in. It was kind of like it was a long weekend as well. But I basically just tagged along on her very chic Melbourne getaway.
Oh, because it looked like a Kate Jinks greatest hits.
I mean, look, it kind of was. Yeah, okay. But we're very similar in that that kind of aspect. What do we do?
In the aspect of architectural houses and martinis.
Pretty much. Yeah. We ate really well. Wow. Highlights. We went to, we started off, our first outing was at the Apollo Inn.
Jealous. I still haven't been past the fucking maitre d'.
Oh.
Last time I was there, I was like, can we just pop in for a drink? He goes, the earliest opening I've got is 4 hours and 15 minutes if you want to come back. And I was like, no.
Yeah, because it is very small. Yeah. It is very small. And there's like limited space at the bar for standing, but like 3 people and that is absolutely it. But I made a booking.
Yeah.
And was very, you know. Got to be done. Had some delicious martinis. Was very sad that the prawn cocktail has gone from the menu, however.
What's the point of me going then?
It's a nice little vibe in there.
Okay.
And the maitre d' is lovely.
I don't doubt it. He's just doing his job.
He's just doing his job.
So far his job over the last, year that it's been open has been to turn me away
twice. Yeah. We had lunch at Florian. We went to Napier Quarter, of course. Obviously a perfect experience at Napier Quarter, as it always is. We went to Marion for like an early summer night dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Had a little glass of Tina at Cam's. And
no Julie?
Well, then, yeah, we had a beautiful lunch at Julie.
Silly me.
Yeah, we had the Tina at Cam's afterwards. It was like always just like a miraculous lunch at Julie.
As per.
Yeah, it was great. But you know what? We finished our last actual meal together was just a dinner of popcorn at the movies.
Perfect. What'd you say?
We went to see Anatomy of a Fall. I'd obviously seen it, but she had not seen it. And
yeah,
it was like a great for a heatwave weekend because
frosty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like frosty inside, frosty on screen. And this is what you want.
Oscars weekend too.
Yeah, it was the night before the Oscars.
Yeah.
So that was, yeah, really good.
Making sure Little Messi got his props.
Yeah. We also did like cultural activities, BL.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the opening night of Gaslight at the Comedy Theatre. Yeah, it stars Geraldine Haykel and Toby Schmitz, and it was really fun. It was like a really, it's a play, you know?
Very a play.
Yeah, very a play.
Great.
And what else did we do? We went to see the Lee Miller Show at Heidi.
Oh, yeah. I haven't been to Heidi in yonks.
You got to go to this. Okay. It is really extraordinary and kind of amazing because they do not allow you to take any photographs within it in the show because of copyright reasons. And I feel like that is why maybe like people don't know about the show or that it's still on because no one can put up like a sneaky shot.
Why did I know that there was that Brendan Huntley carpet exhibition? Because I saw the fucking photos.
We all saw the photos.
Yeah.
But it's really extraordinary. And it's been extended to the 12th, 14th of April.
Who's Lee Miller?
Lee Miller was a model and photographer who became like a war journalist, like a press photographer, essentially. She was the partner for a while of Man Ray, and she was like a leading woman in surrealism.
Gotcha.
And so she made all these like very beautiful surrealist images, but also did like commercial photography. But then she was a photographer for like British Vogue, but she went out into like she took photos in concentration camps, and she took this really famous photo of which is in the show. I always feel like I'm about to say a spoiler, and it's like it was World War II. We know what happened. She was at Hitler's apartment the day that he died by suicide, and there's this amazing photo that she took, and she set it up with I can't remember his name, but like a close friend, also a like war photographer. Essentially, she is kind of naked in his, you can't say anything, in Hitler's bathtub. You can see her very muddy boots and like she's trampled the mud of like the concentration camps being opened and like the tracks from, you know, the war grounds, like battleground, like essentially all over his carpet. It's an amazing photograph. Anyway, that's in there, and there's a lot of other stuff in there. But there was, she was in this Jean Cocteau film, and they had that screening in a little room, and there was like such a quite intense like viewer advice thing where it was saying like this, I can't even remember what it said on it, like what was actually in the film, because it's like a film from the 20s, 30s. Mm-hmm. It was like surrealist film, and I think it was Blood of a Poet, and it said like, if you choose to view, make sure you practice in self-care. Well, that's a lot, isn't it?
Holding space for your...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I haven't seen, because I do a lot of viewer advice warnings and stuff, and I read, so I always pay attention to them. And I was like, oh, I hadn't seen that. And I guess that's kind of a language that they use there that I haven't seen anywhere else, but I guess...
I haven't either.
Interesting. Anyway.
And I don't know why I bristle at that. Why I'm like,
it's just like a surrealist film from the 30s.
It's also like a very contemporary way of being like, not our business, like not our fault. Like,
you totally
bag's not responsible for your emotions. Yeah.
If you're gonna watch this fucked up little movie,
yeah,
you better have a bubble bath planned. Not in Hitler's bathtub.
Please no. Speaking of fucked up little movies, there's a bunch of Nan Golden stuff on in and around Melbourne at the moment. I think it's to do with the like International Photo Festival, maybe.
Because her show's moved to Ballarat.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to go. We got to go to Ballarat. It's right near the train station. So like if we take the V line.
Okay.
We can read for a couple of hours, get off, go to the, anyway, we'll take the plans off mic. But a film she's in called Variety by Bette Gordon.
I love that film.
Was playing at Acme, and I went and saw it on Friday. Like I just happened to have like a million clients. I was like waiting to email me back, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go into the city at 1 p.m. on a Friday and see this movie I know absolutely nothing about. So did that and then went down into the gallery that's showing like a video piece by Nan called Sirens from like 5 or 6 years ago. And, you know, non-narrative, of course, but like Variety was like a wild
isn't it
ride.
Just
my God, what a kooky little movie.
Yeah, Bette Gordon.
I missed Nan. There was like a huge stretch in the movie where there was no Nan. And then when we got Nan again, it was like Nan and Cookie and like all the
It's like all my friends. All the chicas friends there. Yeah.
Chicas. But then no
not
more
Chica.
No, but then no more Nan after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a really beautiful book, like a photo book of Nan Goldin's photos from Variety.
Oh, cool.
That's really, really extraordinary.
I mean, the opening shot of them like undressing and then getting changed again in the gym, I was kind of like, not sure what either of you are doing, whether you're like post-exercise or pre-exercise, because Nan has like a delicate little strapless bra on. But I was like, you know what? Whatever. I'm just going to watch these two women like take their tights off and then put on a different pair of tights.
Whatever works for you.
Yeah.
I've been doing the laps at Fitzroy Pool, speaking of fitness.
Naiading.
I still cannot find a pair of goggles that do not fully send me into looking like Naiad after swimming the goddamn thing.
Oh, I don't look at myself in the reflection for at least like half an hour after I get out of a pool.
No, I'm talking, I have like full day goggle marks. I find it.
What?
Yeah, I've bought so many different kinds of
goggles.
Did
you buy the ones that did I send you mine? The Speedo like kind of pearly opal ones?
Yeah. They just give me the marks. And I thought, oh, I'm just pressing them in too hard or something. But
you gotta suction them in.
But if you don't, then they just fill up with water.
Yeah. Maybe you just got like really susceptible like eye sockets or something.
I think you might have something wrong with my eye sockets.
Delicate little eye sockets.
Yeah, anyway.
It's what everyone's been saying about you.
If there are any listeners with the same affliction, please get in touch about your goggles. But how are you going with your lifting, bro?
I'm doing muscle man pose, which I do every time I say I've been lifting.
It's extremely love lies bleeding.
Don't even get me started. My sister told me last week, I was with my sister also last weekend, but in Brisbane, and we went to her gym together and I deadlifted 50 kilos. No big deal.
Hey, I just want to say that I was listening back to the episode that we put out last week, which we'd recorded a little while before about girlhood. And you said, maybe by the time this comes out, I'll be lifting 10 kilograms. Look at you now.
Yeah, it's fucking wild. I was looking at my text with my friend Porkchop, who is like a lifting guy. And the first time I graduated to barbell phase of Casey Johnson's Couch to Barbell lift off program, I've got like 2 weeks left before I'm fin. Okay, we've got to do an end of Q1 wrap up.
Yeah, I think we do.
But like I started on the second week of January and like I'm almost finished and I've stuck with it. That's absolutely foreign to me.
It's bonkers.
But at the very start, I remember texting him being like, I used 3 kilo weights today. And now I'm just like, do I go up from 50 kilos or do I just stick with 50 and make sure like my form's right and I can do more reps and like I know what reps are?
Yeah, because you got to be safe.
So random. But yeah, I'm being really strong girl.
I love it.
Like I might even, obviously Yara Leisure sponsor the pod, but like I
Yara might, Leisure sponsor the pod.
I'm still going to go there for my Naiading, but I might go to like a weights gym to do all my other stuff.
All right.
TBD.
Moving up with the big boys.
With the big boys. They love call that. And I answer. They're not calling. No one's calling. If anyone wants to call, you're welcome. Do any straight men listen to our podcast? I'm really not sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. The stats are not not reflective of that.
Let us know.
Who knows?
Let us know.
I used to do a podcast about like footy fangirls.
Yeah.
It was called Fangirls. And one time me and my two co-hosts, Amy and Sarah, were walking into the MCG and to see a Richmond Geelong game. And this male, straight seeming Geelong fan was walking the other direction and went, hey, fangirls. And he was so cute and tall. And I like did several shout outs for him on the podcast. I was like, hey, was that you? Come back.
And never.
Never heard a peep, but I was like, fuck, that could have been perfect.
Well, if you're listening right now, hey, fangirls guy.
Still thinking about it.
Get in touch. So the podcast at gmail.com.
I don't. Yeah, that's it. See, that's also it. The podcast. Yep. I wasn't very good at securing our usernames back 2 years ago.
What else has happened? I went to Byron.
Oh, yeah. You went to Byron. Chic.
I'm a Byron bae.
You're so Tones and I. Were you busking? Do you get discovered?
Is that where Tones and I is from? Oh, that makes
she's from a okay, horrific kind so of she's sense. From like Frankston, I think, like the Mornington Peninsula, yeah. But went to Byron with a plan to busk, and that's where she got discovered. And it's almost like too neat and simple. I'm like, wait, you thought your plan to get famous was just to busk in Byron Bay, and then it happened? Like, what are the
and
chances?
Then you did.
Yeah.
Mm, okay.
Anyway, so you didn't see any future-
I went there to busk, and
So we was doing some sets out on the street.
Can you imagine? No, it was sweet. I tagged along again, just tagging along on these holidays. I tagged along on my, I guess, mother-in-law, like girlfriend's mother, but de facto, we've been together 14 years.
Do you call yourselves de factos?
No.
No?
No. Like, oh, hey, de facto, welcome
home.
It's
so legally,
are you cooking tonight?
It's
de facto?
Legal.
No. It's so legal. Yeah. No, absolutely not. But it was, yeah, it was nice. And then it all culminated with a very special viewing on the final night. Just watch a bit of 2 weeks' notice.
Great.
Was perfect. Ordered pizza to the room, watched 2 weeks' notice, all the gals together.
Who's the redhead in 2 weeks' notice? What's she from?
Alicia Witt.
Yes.
She was in a movie called Fun. Why can't I think of anything else?
We talked about a movie on the podcast that she was in. Maybe it was a poodle. And you were like, she's really cool. She was in this, this, and this. And I was like, she's the mean new girlfriend in 2 weeks' notice.
Yeah. And she wears such a weird outfit to the clown party.
Well, yeah, where Trump has a cameo.
Yeah, he does.
And it's all who's doing the singing in that? Don't know why.
Nora Jones. Yeah,
that movie really means something to me.
It's streaming on Stan, and it is a good time.
It's very like Girls Who Eat and Poo a Lot.
That is the film.
That's Sandra Bullock's whole thing.
Yeah, and that's often, and she does fall.
Oh, she falls an incredible amount, but she's so smart at law.
She's really good at law.
Yeah.
But also she's from Coney Island.
She's from Coney Island. She orders so much Chinese food.
I know, it's just for her.
Just
she
for
gets
her.
Through it all.
It is freaking crazy.
It's extremely Lorelai and Gilmore Girls. We just eat so much.
Are you sure this is just for one? Ugh. And then at the end she's like, no, it's for two. Who cares? I've spent 8 hours in the past week watching Dunes.
Just the new ones, or did you go back to Lynch or?
No, I watched the new one at IMAX.
Yeah.
And by, at the end, I was like, I don't remember anything that happened in the first one. So I went back and rewatched the first one, then went back to the movies on Saturday with my reusable straw, thanks to you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen so much Dune. Austin Butler in Dune, how could I not?
Oh, is he?
My guy.
Oh, he's in the new one. Yeah, yeah. I haven't seen it yet. Okay.
In the new Dune.
New Dune.
There's a bit. Okay, it's not really a spoiler alert. It's like the whole thing.
It's like Twilight, New Dawn, was it?
Yeah.
New Dune.
There's a whole. This isn't a spoiler because since you haven't seen it, but like it's the whole thing is that Timmy rides a worm.
Oh, yeah.
The moment where Timmy rides a worm is like, I saw God. He's fucking. I like throw up a shaka. He's cowabungering through the sand on a fucking giant grandfather worm. Oh my God. And his name's Paul and his mom's name is Jessica. Like that's so
yeah,
silly.
Their names are so dumb.
That their
they?
Names are Paul and Jessica and Jason Momoa's character RIP from the first film. His name is Duncan Idaho. But then there's like Nah Baron, Fade Ruther, and like Charney
and Jess and Paul.
Jess and Paul.
It's not great, is it?
Are they the two owners of Blackhearts and Sparrows? Also, Zendaya is, I mean, Zendaya is incredible. She's already doing the like Challengers press tour and like her hair and outfits are so good already. But in Dune 2, and I have to say it like that because in Australia it just doesn't work. In April, May, June, she's so furrowed brow the whole movie. Mm. And it kind of, I had to watch it a second time to understand what her furrowed brow meant. And it was only after seeing the whole movie could I kind of guess what it meant earlier in the movie, because she's just kind of giving one expression the whole time. And sometimes she furrows her brow and then smiles, and sometimes she furrows her brow and then leaves the room. And it's just so furrowed the whole time. But also she's kind of like the Rue from Euphoria, but of the desert. Because there's like a bit where she and her friends are like huddled together and they're like, like gossiping about Timmy. And then he's like, what are you talking about? And they're like, nothing. And they're like making fun of Javier Bardem's character. And they're like, he's from the South. Don't you know from his accent? And I was like, where's your fucking accent from? California?
Yeah. Why are they nitpicking about accents in a sci-fi film?
Do we not want to bring up accents in this movie that Austin Butler's in? Like, let's just leave accent chat out of it.
Let it lie.
But yeah, it's an incredible movie. I love Denis. I went back and rewatched Arrival, which I just love.
I love Arrival.
Love it. No one films like big floating ships like Denis Villeneuve.
I really liked Sicario 2. No, I liked Sicario 1. I didn't like Sicario 2.
Is there a second one? I've only seen the first one.
Yeah, it's no good.
Okay.
It's really not worth seeing.
I really want Amy Adams to get back with Denis and be in another one of his movies. That'd get back good. As in like as an actor.
That was the best thing she's ever done.
Truly. Get in Dune 3.
Dune.
Her name can be like Sarah or something.
I've got to see it. I missed it. Did you see them both in IMAX?
No. The first one I saw at IMAX, the second one I went to Victoria Gardens Extreme Screen.
All right. Okay.
I know we say you got to see it on the big screen. You truly have to see it on the big screen.
All right. Speaking of big screens, there's a film that we will be talking about next week that...
I'm doing Strongman Arms again.
I said it twice. BL, you're fresh from the sweat of it. It is Love Lies Bleeding, and we will be talking about it next week. So you do have a week to go and see it if you haven't already.
We're going
to
be talking about the entire movie, and I'm so excited to talk about it with you. Like, my lips are sealed until we have mics on in front of us a week from now.
Me too. Is there anything else you've been watching?
Yeah, Southern Charm.
Oh, should I?
You might actually like it because of Patricia Altschul, but she's a woman I sent you a screenshot of because she had a giant fluffy phone case and also like a caftan printed with dogs' faces on it. And but she's the mother of one of the cast members. So she's not in it as often as I would like.
Is she like Tinsley's mum?
Better.
Okay.
She's like.
What's her name? Like Dor or something?
Dale. Tinsley. Patricia Altschul is, she's like very, very wealthy from having like, I'm sure raised with money, but like married into a lot of money, including one of her husbands was Ian Fleming, the author of James Bond's cousin or brother or something. And so she was like, Ian taught us how to make the perfect martini and every butler who works for me has to make the perfect martini. And when her butler, Michael, goes on holiday, she doesn't have her daily martini because she's like, I'd rather die than have an insufficient martini.
Oh, I mean, props, but also I'll just drink it.
She's heaven. She like hosts dinner parties that the sole purpose is like to get gossip and to like hear the Southern Charm cast like talk shit to each other. And she always has a fun little animal place setting. Like recently she did an Indian themed dinner. Don't ask. So many white Southerners wearing saris, but
oh no,
yeah. But she put like a little elephant place setting, like a little elephant figurine on everyone's place setting. And then when Michael brought out the like dishes, she had to instruct all of these again white Southerners how to eat curry. And she was like, it was like gluggy rice. I could tell the rice was gluggy. And then like just this like pale yellow curry over the top. And then she was like, and then you put the toppings on top of the curry. And she's just putting peanuts on. So something got kind of lost in translation at some point, but she really goes all out for her theme events.
Okay. All right. Maybe I shall.
Yeah. I'm up to season 5. You are
flying through.
I don't know if you will be able to handle the straight men.
I started watching The Regime.
Oh yeah, how is it?
Well, I'm feeling like a little despondent in general about television because after finishing The Curse, which a perfect show, and I just wish I could watch The Curse again And so now it's like desperately kind of trying to find the next show. The Regime, it's just not very good.
Okay.
It stars Kate Winslet as a dictator in a European country.
Non-specific.
Non-specific. And it was, look, it's like a Kate Winslet. Like, of course you want to watch that. Mm-hmm. But it's also got like Andrea Riseborough in it. Matthias Schoenaerts, Belgian actor.
Was I about to say Matthias Cormann, who's I think an Australian politician?
I mean, either way, I'd be that's exciting if he was there.
Yeah,
Martha Plimpton's in there.
That's right. The cast is stacked.
It's it's a really good cast. But and her husband in it is played by the guy who voices who does the French dub of Paddington. So the French Ben Whishaw?
Oh, does he?
Yeah. But like
that's how you get to Ben Whishaw?
Yeah. Connecting those dots. Okay. So it was created by one of the head main writers of Succession.
Okay.
And the guy who wrote or created The Menu.
That's right. I saw this.
And it's like The Menu is a good what do we call it? Like it's like that makes sense because it's like a funny premise, kind of zeitgeisty,
amped up stakes.
Yeah. And like some good things happen, but ultimately like, this could have been a lot smaller.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't really kind of get anywhere.
Yeah.
So I didn't like love The Menu. I thought it had its moments and it was a very fun watch.
Make Me a Burger, like, et cetera.
Yeah. But like actually not that great.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like he's been given like carte blanche to do whatever the fuck he wants. And it's kind of not great.
Is it Apple TV?
Binge. But yeah, like I'm.
Have you watched the
two eps in? And I was like, I don't think I'll go back. Yeah.
Have you watched the Mendelsohn Dior show yet?
Still have not gone Mendo. Me neither. On that. Should we?
I don't know.
There's not much buzz about it.
No, and there's absolutely zero buzz about Masters of Air or Expats, which I also said in our pre-recorded girlhood episode last week. I was like, maybe I'll have watched them both by then.
I still want to watch Expats, but I did start watching Mary and George, which, no one is fucking talking about
this
show.
Is it Apple TV?
No, it's also Bunge.
Because no one watches anything on Apple TV.
No, this is not. But it's Julianne Moore in like, I don't know, like 1620.
Olden days.
Yep. Lots of lace and big colors, you know?
Got it.
And you can tell that everyone smells very bad. So that kind of time period. In England, ye olde England. And her disgusting husband dies. And she's kind of left with these, with her children, her brood. And she sees kind of money or that her second son could have a different life because he is a gay. And she kind of sets him up with the King of England. And yeah, and it's like kind of like a merry romp.
What?
And she is also like with this woman who runs a brothel.
Okay.
And the guy, the son, is...
I like how when you have a gay son, you're like, he could fuck the king.
He could fuck the king. We all live happily ever after. He played the jock in Bottoms, her son.
Oh, Nicholas Galzatine.
That one.
Who is playing the Harry Styles proxy in that new Anne Hathaway movie.
What's the new Anne Hathaway movie?
It's basically like the Harry Styles Olivia Wilde story, but she's a normal woman. It's like a Harry Styles proxy meets a normal woman, Anne Hathaway, who's a gallerist at Coachella, and then they start fucking.
Hang on, she's a gallerist at Coachella.
No, she's a gallerist. Sorry.
Oh, they meet at Coachella.
He meets her, comma, a gallerist, comma, at Coachella.
Woof, woof, woof.
And yeah, it's like a rom-com of this older woman and this younger man who happens to basically be Harry Styles, but played by Nicholas Galzatine. I really can't wait.
I think he's also in that Red, White and Royal Blue, which I have not seen.
He absolutely is.
Okay.
Yeah. And look, that was better than it needed to be.
Okay. Well, I feel like Mary and George is sort of on its way there, but it's also, I don't know, jury's out. There's only one or two episodes at the moment. So
he's doing some fun gay work and some fun British work.
Well, so is Julianne Moore, as it turns out.
Turns out. We knew that about
her. Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
All right, before we get into the main topic of conversation, but we are going to be talking about Capote. What's the show even called?
Feud. Capote versus the Swans.
Yeah, okay. Capote v. Swans.
American Feud Story.
There's too much. But Rehoboth has just wrapped, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. The last reunion just aired. How are you feeling about the season?
Yeah, it's been a little while since we checked in on our girls. I guess since our live show when we kind of just vaguely talked about Merce in the Purse. Mm. And these girls really need checking in on. There's so much fainting.
There's a bit too much fainting.
I don't know if Sutton really fainted or if she just didn't want to face Kathy.
Yeah.
And saw Kathy's expression and was like, I want to go to hospital.
Yeah, I thought the fainting at the end was maybe a bit much, but also that she left some of Merce in the purse behind.
And all of them being like, Merce is not still here. I thought we got rid of him in the oceans, the whole reason we went to Spain.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel, I think Sutton did a pretty good job this season.
Me too.
But I think the constant dragging of Merce around is really upsetting me at this point.
Let him rest.
Let fucking Merce Cunningham rest.
Yes. But allegedly, according to like a podcast I listened to, Garcelle was texting Andy. Oh, it was Andy Cohen's Daddy Diaries podcast. Garcelle was in her like shiny sequined dress still at like midnight at the hospital with Sutton. So like something was actually happening. I loved Kathy being like, Sutton, it's hot flashes. You're 49. Get used to it.
Yeah.
Wild. But yeah, Sutton... Kyle essentially saying to Sutton, like, all you did this year was get a dating coach and a horse. Stop saying I don't share my life. I'm like, Sutton made this show this season. Sutton freaking out at Magic Mike and like just throwing ashes and getting them all over herself. That's a show, Kyle. Take notes.
That's a show. But she also did not like, freaking out at Magic Mike, but then completely just saying it was nothing. And she didn't want to be part of it. And she was on the board of the American Ballet and stuff. It was like,
she was
take some responsibility.
She gaslighting the played.
Yes. Yeah.
the Kyle of it all, like that was kind of like the story going into the season. I heard a lot of people online being like, Kyle once again said nothing, like all this build up for her to say nothing. She essentially said on air that she would date a woman, that she loved Morgan Wade.
Mm-hmm.
She was like pretty tight lipped to not kind of like expose another person on this show, but we watched the breakdown of her marriage on this season, and for people to still come out the other end being like, fuck Kyle, she gives nothing. I was like, what show were you watching?
Yeah, Kyle also lost her best friend. Like, her best friend died by suicide. She was completely broken by it, and like the fact that she hadn't told anyone on the show for some time, and then she kind of breaks down when she's talking to like her counselor or therapist or whatever. Like, I was really moved by that. And
I was kind
of shocked and amazed that she was still on the show. And everything kind of fell into place at that point. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, that's why she's really watching like her drinking and like working out and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I did feel it was really unfair of Sutton and Dorit to accuse her of not sharing her life with them. And I was like, what do you want her to do? Like, she can't do anything more.
Yeah, she's got her capacity.
And she's lost her family in the past over the show. So
her emotional capacity is like a quarter of what it was 2 or 3 years ago. I did love the stuff with her and Kathy, even though I was like, why the fuck is Kathy here?
Oh, yeah, to kind
of not really answer for like the sins of the past. Although the moment where the paramedics are taking Sutton to hospital and...
Eric is asking about her Christmas
tree.
Like,
is your tree still up? Kathy's like, I just took them down. I was like, this is a show. Erica was my MVP this season.
Yeah. Look, Kyle will always be my MVP. I'm ride or die Kyle. Uh-huh. And of course, the Morgan Wade stuff is extremely important to my culture.
We weren't at CMC Rocks Festival this weekend seeing Morgan. It's so sad.
Wish we were.
Me too.
But Erica did, like, she is a villainess. Let's be real. But... she did bring it back this season.
She's a showman.
She
put on a fucking show. Her just being like, I'm not fighting with these bitches. Like, we've come a long way since, like, Eagle Woman, what is empathy? Remember when her mum came to visit and she was like, I love my mother, but after 24 hours, she needs to leave my house. Mm-hmm. Watching that, I was like, relatable. And Erica Jane now has her spin-off show, Bet It All on Blonde. I tried watching the first episode and it just... was like a dry recap of who Tom Girardi was for like the first 5 minutes. And
I know.
Out loud went, I can't do this, and turned it off.
Good.
But I loved Erica this season. I thought when she was drunk, she was funny. When they went on trips, she was really entertaining. When they played Oliver Sutton and she knew all the stuff about Sutton, I was like, I send those two to Crappy Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dorit has to go.
Dorit's got to go.
This is Dorit's final season.
I feel sad about that, but this season really brought a few things to light.
Two years ago was going to be her final season, then she got robbed, and I'm glad she stayed.
Yeah.
But then she got robbed again
because
she left, like, money in the shopping cart or something. But watching Dorit not understand what unconscious bias is and the fact that her, like, laughing at two black teenagers getting, like, screamed at and then laughing about it with her friends and then essentially telling their mom, like, stop being so sensitive. I thought we were friends. Why don't you want to be my friend?
And like, did you really think that was my intention?
When Gus says, I don't trust you around my children. And she's like, how could you say you don't trust me around my children? Because you've demonstrated you can't be trusted around our children.
Yeah. And I was like, Garcelle just clearly doesn't like her.
Yeah.
And I love watching that.
Me too.
Yeah. I thought Garcelle did so well this season.
She's great.
Yeah.
Also, like, I understood a little more of her kids because at the beginning of this season when her kids were kind of giving her a really hard time about, like, leaving and they want more freedom and this and that, I was kind of like, fuck you kids. Like, she...
I remember you saying that and I was like, Bill.
Yeah, but I just thought that they were kind of airing Garcelle out when the cameras were on and I was like, these kids probably really love their mom. And they're putting her in a really weird position to be like, you weren't around on camera. But now I think about it more and I'm like, if she has really strict rules for, like, them not being allowed to drive, they're not allowed to take public transport, they live in LA. Mm. If she's away, if she's out of town, they probably do want more freedom because they can't fucking do anything.
Yeah.
But she doesn't let them take Ubers by themselves.
Yeah.
And they're like teenagers who want to do stuff. So I'm like, okay, I get the boys a little more.
Yeah.
I didn't want to empathize with them.
I like all their scenes together.
Yeah, they're a cute family.
Yeah, they are a cute family.
Anna Marie.
Oh,
flop house. Get her out.
Yeah, she's absolutely brought nothing. She has brought less than.
Episode two of the reunion was three parts. In part two, Andy at one point said, what do you think, Anna Marie? She said one sentence. That's it. Same in episode three. She had one sentence to say in like an hour and a half of TV. Get her out of there.
Get her out.
Apparently, she and her husband share the very problematic views of like a Caitlyn Jenner when it comes to like what trans athletes should and shouldn't be allowed to do. And they are both supporters of Candace Owens, who was in the Trump administration and is like Kanye's favorite political figure.
Of course. Well, that's no surprise really after seeing. Yeah. I'm still in shock that he said that his wife is not a 10 in any area. That will never be shocking to me.
I agree with him. And neither's he.
Neither's he. Okay. What about Crystal? Almost forgot her name.
I didn't have any notes about Crystal. Crystal didn't have very much to do this season, but I did like her telling Anna Marie that she lied about being an anaesthetist.
I liked that too. She had a bit of spirit, but, and I also did like it when she was like, when she finally opened up about saying, I am thinking about weight all the time. This is, and like everyone's getting smaller and smaller and it's all I can think about. I liked that she addressed that.
Me too.
Because it clearly is such a major kind of part of her life and something that she obviously struggles with massively. So I like, because normally it's like, oh, you can't comment on like a housewife losing lots of weight. Like it becomes crazy.
Yeah.
So I liked that she kind of spoke about it in a way that was like, this is why I have said this.
Totally. And I think any other house or in the past, because that was a based on a conversation she had with her husband about the other women, to bring it up at the reunion, it's usually like a gotcha, like explain to their faces why you're talking about their bodies. And she was like, because I'm obsessed with people's bodies, because I'm obsessed with my own, because she suffers from an eating disorder and always has. I really loved that too.
Yeah.
I liked her standing up against Doreen on the child bride stuff.
Me too.
And being like, my coconut water, like she doesn't talk about her coconut water on the show. She has like $100 million business because of the Bethany clause. Cause if she does, then Bravo gets a cut of her business.
Oh.
So it's actually like whatever fucking Dorit did with like Bethany Beach or like Beverly Beach is like Bravo would have got a cut of that like flop business or those wedding dresses she made with that like scammer Australian designer.
Oh my gosh.
And so like the reason that someone like Crystal, who had a big business before joining the show, isn't framed as a businesswoman on the show is because of the Bethany clause.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah.
Also, they all are all quite uneducated.
But, okay, Crystal needs to do a little more to come back next season, or if she comes back, she needs to do a little more. But even her tagline this season was like,
was it
was about like wisdom comes with age and I don't agree. And so it's, or something like that. And it's like, are you saying you're old or dumb? Like the way she framed it, just it sounded like she was insulting herself but trying to be really smart, being like, I'm young and wise, but it sounded like I'm old and dumb.
I want to get a job writing those taglines.
Yeah, that'd be a good job. Although the Australian ones, you don't have very much to work with.
No, but I just miss the days of Sonia Morgan's There's Nothing Grey About My Gardens.
I had my friend Meredith and I were doing like a brand project recently, and we were trying to like find descriptors of like a brand as if it were a person, the silliest job that you ever have to do. And she kept writing the line being the straw that stirs the drink for this kind of like provocative kind of idea. And I was like, we can't use that. And she was like, but it's like a phrase. And I was like, I know, but it's a Sonia Morgan tagline. She's the straw that stirs the drink. It's how Andy Cohen still introduces her. We can't put that in a presentation because I will laugh.
It is a good, it's a good description.
She's gone down in history.
Sonia.
She's gone down on a lot of things.
Capote v. America. What is American Feud?
No, it's
Ryan
just
Murphy's Feud. American Feud. Capote v. Swan, starring Truman Capote and his swans.
Precious, based on the novel Push by Sapphire. Feud wrapped up last week, the week before. I forget. Yeah. The Capote series.
Yeah, I think so. I thought it was finished, and then I was reading a recap, and then I was like, I haven't seen any of this, and had to watch it.
Yeah, I had to catch up on
finished this episode before.
Two episodes in one go. I was talking to Sinead on Saturday after we went to the Titanic exhibition, obviously. She was like, I watched the first two episodes and it was just a bit too sad. I don't think I can keep going. And I was like, keep going for one more episode because you're about to get the black and white ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, episode three is like kind of
the peak.
Classic Ryan Murphy. It's just a lot of TV.
It's too much TV. Mm-hmm. The show is too much TV. There is too much of it. And that is a shame because there is gold in there, but it's
gold in them
strung out. Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame. It's such a juicy story. And look, I haven't watched the Betty Joan feud season, but I understand that this format is like ripe for Truman and the Swans. But I also think like, I don't know, Ryan, maybe do 5 40-minute episodes instead of 8 hours of telly.
This could have been a really perfect 4 episodes.
Or a movie.
Or a movie.
Jackie style.
Yeah, but Ryan Murphy's not that good.
Well, not if he made it.
No.
You know? Get Pablo Larraín's swans, you know? Imagine.
Yeah, that would be good.
Oof, imagine.
I mean, he got Gus Van Sant to direct most of it.
And that was really good.
I was like, Gus, what have they done to my Gus?
Gus has done it to himself, babe. I'm sorry to say.
I feel like Gus is so great and Ryan is so bad. It's just like they cancel each other out and it just becomes this kind of mess.
Do you want to know something crazy that I've learned from seeing?
I did enjoy much of it, by the way.
Yeah. What's her name's not Leslie Bibb, Leslie Grossman, who's Mary Cherry in Popular and has been like besties with Ryan Murphy since being in his first TV series Popular. She is always on Watch What Happens Live. She's like a Real Housewives fan. And she has revealed to Andy Cohen that Ryan Murphy has never watched any Real Housewives. She's tried to get him to and he won't. And I was like, maybe you should. Imagine. Okay. I know that we should just dissed him and said that this should have been a movie. But imagine Ryan Murphy doing Big Kathy, Kim, Kyle and Kathy Hilton. Like that's.
I mean, it's going to happen, right?
Kathy will disown Kyle for life if it happens.
For life.
But it'll be worth it. We'd get a really good show out of it.
Or would we?
Well.
We'd get our show. We'd get a very long show that we would watch every episode of. I wanted to love the hell out of this.
Yeah.
And I just didn't.
Yeah.
Which is such a shame.
Mm.
But I watched it dutifully and had all our gals in it. It was such a stellar cast.
Truly.
And it's like a topic that I know a lot about and love.
Yeah.
And, but also I'm not in any way precious, but still it just wasn't enough.
No, know. I agree. And I think it just felt like really
watered down.
Watered down.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It was like weak coital.
Got a really cutting review in the New York Times.
Oh yeah.
Which starts with feud, Capote versus the Swans, blah, 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 is something that its protagonist could not abide. A bore.
Yes.
That's like, oh, ouch, but it is true.
It's true. Like to have, I mean, Tom Hollander's portrayal of Capote is excellent.
Yeah, love it.
I had to go back and rewatch the trailer for Capote with Philip Seymour Hoffman just be like, God, that accent, that voice work must just be such fun for like an actor to be able to dive into. But oh my God, imagine Austin Butler as Capote. But
too tall.
I think the like tone, hey, worked for Elordi as Elvis. But I think that review in the New York Times also gets at something, which is like the opinion the show had on everyone. Like it kind of, it put us as the viewer into like Capote's shoes of like looking down on everyone. And it's like, I don't want to be looking down on CZ Guest played by Chloe Sevigny or Joanne Carson played by fucking Molly Ringwald. Although she did seem like a kook, but like, yeah, it says worse than this, that Mike Hale review in the New York Times. He says worse than the structural problems though, is the pox on all your houses tone. It feels as if the show is looking down on all of its characters, which might be a choice to reflect Capote's viewpoint. But if so, it's a bad one. The East Coast socialites are lacquered gorgons. His long-suffering companion, Jack Dunphy, is a humorless scold. Everyone gets at least a little dig. A young woman Capote mentors doesn't know what the Mariana Trench is. A tavern on the green waiter he befriends can't pronounce Galangal. The handyman he seduces thinks career is in Europe. Joanne Carson, who takes Capote in, shops at Pier 1. Ed Koch is a closeted jerk. Brooke Astor brings carnations to a grave. Like, it's all just kind of the like biting kind of like bitchiness of Capote made for like a fun line of dialogue here or there. But overall it was just kind of like, where's the light in this show now?
Yeah.
And there was a little in the second last episode, Beautiful Babe.
Yeah.
Which I really adore. I mean, like Naomi Watts is putting in a fucking star performance in this.
She's so good in this. And I love her in this.
Who plays her husband? Treat Williams.
Imagine being called Treat.
What a treat.
I love that.
It's so Babe Paley. It's such a name from that era, you know?
I want to have a kid just to call it Treat.
Me too. I want you to have a kid.
A kid just to.
Yeah.
Well, you know, his, not niece, but the his longtime companion's daughter.
His de facto.
Yeah. He takes in. What's her name? Kerry? She's played.
Oh, Capote, not Treat Williams.
No. The real Carrie O'Shea actually called her girl, like her daughter, Truman, after Truman Capote.
Oh, she's like Washington Post journalist? She's like a journalist.
Well, she's played by Ella Beatty, daughter of Warren and Annette Bening, NIAID.
Stop.
Yeah, she's NIAID's daughter.
I was just revisiting the Warren Beatty, Faye Dunaway, Moonlight, La La Land the other day. Remember there was a producer who like saw what was on the card, stared at the producer who just made his speech, realized they didn't win, then got up and made his acceptance speech and then goes, "We didn't win. We lost, by the way." At the end, it's like you just made an acceptance speech knowing that you didn't win an award. It's fucked up.
It is fucked up.
Demi Moore chews on the F slur.
Oh, she sure does.
And you know what? I really liked watching it.
Demi, she was, she's such a sad character.
Tragic.
Yeah.
One of the true victims of Truman's, the idea of like his pen being this powerful weapon. Like this woman died because of what he wrote about
totally.
Her. Yeah.
I particularly love Diane Lane as Slim Keith.
Oh, vicious.
Diane Lane is an underused actor. Like we don't see her that much and she's often kind of, I feel, slightly miscast in films, but this is she was perfect for.
Mm-hmm.
Not since Ladies and Gentlemen, The Fabulous Danes, or maybe Under the Tuscan Sun.
Under the Tuscan Sun, let's put some respect.
But she is so good in it.
So good.
And Slim Keith is such a good name.
So sick. I also love realizing that our Chloe, who is perpetually like a teen, like punk icon, Chloe Sevigny, is playing a peer of Demi Moore and Diane Lane and Naomi Watts. Like it was so, I didn't realize until the final episode, I was like, oh wow. Like almost 50-year-old Chloe Sevigny is moving into her like, you know, actor of a certain age era. And I really enjoy it.
Yeah. I mean, she's clocking in quite a bit younger than Demi and Diane.
She is.
Naomi Watts is 55.
Yeah. I didn't read the whole interview in Interview magazine between Kim Gordon and Chloe Sevigny, but I saw the little excerpts on Instagram and I really liked how Kim was basically like, I've known you since you were really young and you look great now.
Yeah, I liked that
too. You got to know that you look really great now.
Yeah, that was it's a really good interview.
Yeah.
So let's get to the Maisel's ep.
Oh,
ep 3.
Episode 3.
Which is, it's a smart episode. Like it's a really well done episode.
Gus did really well.
Gus did, our boy Gus did such a good, GBS did a good job. So essentially it is like a perfect kind of capturing black and white documentary of the famous black and white ball, like the masquerade. But this is before they even made Salesman. This is like the year before Salesman, I think. And then like a couple of years before Grey Gardens. Yeah. So they did Salesman in 69, but this was 66.
Right.
I believe.
Because that timing is important because there's a bit where they're filming Lee Radziwill and she kind of like waves at the camera and says like, oh, we're old friends. They know my cousin or something.
Yeah.
Referring to the Edies.
I could be wrong, but
unless they were filming at Grey Gardens for quite a while before the movie came out, I guess is the rationale for that, maybe.
I really liked that episode a lot.
It was very Jackie.
It was very Jackie.
I loved that episode. I loved the way that every single woman they interviewed in Truman's circle in these good years was like, he essentially either told them or inferred that they would be the guest of honor. And then for it to be Katharine Graham. And they were all like, the fuck? The editor of the Washington Post? Like,
Jackie.
Boring.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, great, great episode. Although the Demi character coming in at the end and like begging to be invited. So sad.
That had a real Ryan Murphy touch to me.
Absolutely. I mean, he had his touches. Jessica Lange of it all.
She was naughty pining it up as much as she could.
What does that mean?
In American Horror Story Coven, it's like they get, like your version of hell is like, it's very specific to you. And hers is, she's trapped in like this log cabin, like absolutely covered in knotty pine. And there's this great bit where she realizes and goes, knotty pine. It's fantastic. Anyway.
I really loved the, well, I did, I, so for like a branded content piece job that I was working on ages
native.
Ago.
Native.
And some native advertorial, I had to do like I basically had to like do a bunch of research on the Swans and Capote like a year ago. And I came upon the like little tidbit of information that Truman Capote was so desperate for people to kind of like see him in a different light via the black and white ball. Like that was, you know, he came from nowhere. He made In Cold Blood. He had this kind of aura around him. Like the idea that New York high society was obsessed with a guy who wrote a true crime novel is like so, so of another era. Like this reverence of the man with the typewriter being the most powerful person in the room. So funny. Everyone has to read Esquire the day it comes out. But the black and white ball was his kind of way of being like, I'm not just friends with people. I'm also the person, you know, at the center of all of this.
I'm not just the plus one.
Yeah. And so he sent the New York Times a list of all the names so that when they, to kind of like encourage them to write about the ball to see how important it was, and announced everyone as they walked into the room so that everyone could kind of see the like stature of people that he was inviting. Even people who like it hadn't happened yet, and he sent a kind of a press release about who was there.
I think it started really well. And then I liked the third season. It started slowly, but well, but it really did peter out. I liked the Palm Springs episode actually quite a bit.
Yeah, me too.
And the James Baldwin episode was just a little bit too in the fiction for me. Like I know that this show is going to take its liberties because it's all created dialogue essentially. It's not, you know, it's just pieces from here, pieces from there stitched together. But it reminded me of Lenny Bruce in Mrs. Maisel. Yes. I was just like, I just can't go here with James Baldwin.
Like the idea that these people cross paths in real life, but then to fictionalize it to a point where he's sitting there being like, Truman, don't jump out the window. You know, like, totally. I don't know what you sold to the devil to write In Cold Blood, but like, you got to get it back. I was, go to sleep, Ryan.
I did enjoy them talking about what it was like to be a gay man in that kind of coterie of women and how they were actually treated. I thought that was like one of the most interesting things that came out of the entire series.
Mm-hmm.
But
like, worth a watch for an hour or two, but like you kind of could watch episode 1, episode 3, episode 7.
Yeah, it became like sorting laundry, doing the dishes, like
it was
cooking.
Background.
Yeah.
There's only so many times you can watch that little guy just like drink himself to. I wish we'd gotten an episode of him getting his fucking facelift.
Oh, that would be good.
Truman's facelift.
Yeah.
Oh.
They could have put Patricia Highsmith in.
Was there a connection there?
Yeah. He helped her get into like the Yaddo, the writing community. And yeah, he was an early.
Oh my God. We didn't get any Harper Lee either.
No Harper Lee. No.
Is she just so tied to his like youth and In Cold Blood era that they were like, now he's cool. And in New York, we don't get Catherine Keener as Harper Lee like we got in Capote.
I think it's very much like it's two swans and they weren't swans. They were like female peers.
Yes.
And that's not what this show is interested in at all.
There's no glamour in a female friend.
No.
Yeah.
Unless they're buying gloves in the department store.
Oh my God.
That was a good scene.
The death of glamour in New York was a really good moment where all the girls, the sales girls' hair is flat and like middle parted all of a sudden. Yeah. And they're like, no one really wears gloves anymore.
Yeah,
the hat shop closing down, and Chloe said, "You can't get her like woven hats."
Yeah.
So she buys all the hats
just for gardening.
Yeah, CZ's garden.
Yeah, I did like that.
I did like the Thanksgiving. Okay, I did like the Thanksgiving Christmas bit early on when he's taking that like horrible Russell, what's his face actor, to Thanksgiving.
Russell Toby,
and he CZ has to lie and uninvite him from Thanksgiving. And his complaint about it is so, it made me realize that what Christmas is to you, Thanksgiving is to Truman Capote, where he's like, I wrote the Thanksgiving play. Like, this is my holiday. How dare she uninvite? And he had to like sink to the level of celebrating Thanksgiving in California.
California. Yeah. I mean, there were so many good scenes in it, but I mean, if only we could just have those scenes.
Yeah.
It's like Truman Capote. He's going to be turning over at the idea that anybody is doing laundry while watching a show about him.
You're so right.
That's not how it should be. That is Truman.
He would never have allowed it.
No.
I have a few alsos. Mm-hmm. The first is In Cold Blood.
Yep.
A great book.
It's a great book.
My friend Anton will be listening to this and will be rolling his eyes because the year that we lived in New York together, I toted my fucking copy of In Cold Blood around, insisting I was about to start reading it. He was like, you're never going to fucking read this book. And then I didn't. I really liked it. But mm-hmm. by then he was like, I don't want to hear about it anymore. But I also, he pointed out, I just really had a crush on Clifton Collins Jr., who played one of the murderers in Capote.
Oh, in the film, yeah. Yeah.
I once saw him on Raya, that dating app. Yeah. Don't pay for it anymore, so I can't give anyone a discount, a referral code. Don't ask. But yeah, that's In Cold Blood is one of my recs. And there's a documentary I just learned about, which I have never seen. So this is a rec for me as well, called That Summer, which features Lee Radziwill visiting Grey Gardens. And I'm very curious about that. And there's also a bag by Tori Burch that I learned about on Opulent Tips last week.
I also learned about it on Opulent Tips.
Called the Lee Radziwill bag.
I clicked that link for sure.
It's kind of like her her Kelly or her Birkin.
Yeah, it's actually quite cute.
It kind of looks like a Birkin.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, apart from, yeah, reading Truman and there and watching Grey Gardens, of course, always. I thought Vogue did a cute little piece about like who they all really were and has like, you know, photos of the cast next to their alter ego, their real women, etc. That was quite good. Mm-hmm. But I also want to say that the recaps that Vulture did for this season were, was like borderline better than the show.
Mm.
And I actually had a good time rereading all of those because I was like, oh, yes, Chloe Sevigny did deliver that line well.
Uh-huh.
Whereas in the show, it kind of gets lost because there's just so much show.
Yeah.
I have started wearing pearls again. So I don't know what is happening with this. But anyway, updates.
CZ's gardening outfits are very you.
Yeah, I think it's the CZ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something very Ina Garten about it all as well. Like the idea of kind of Ina in her, you know, plating up something for like the neighborhood gays, you know, in the Hamptons.
BL, it's time for also alsos. Give me a first one.
Speaking of books turned movies and finally reading the books, I'm reading The Hours.
Oh, great.
And this is like a 25, 30-year-old recommendation for The Hours by Michael Cunningham. And a side recommendation, he's coming to Melbourne. He's speaking at the Melbourne Writers Festival on the 8th of May, 6 p.m. Tickets are on sale. But I'm just having a really fun time reading about Mrs. Brown, Mrs. Wolf, Mrs. Dalloway, all the Chicas, and especially that the character I know from the film being played by Meryl Streep in her first introduction in the book thinks that she spots Meryl Streep on the streets and is like convinced that she's seen Meryl Streep. And I was like, oh, what a twist.
I love that. Yeah. I'd forgotten about that. Wow. Yeah. That makes me want to reread it.
It's a short book. It's like an easy meal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't read his later. He's got a new one, newish one out. It came out for summer.
This is my first and only Cunningham. So like open to all recs.
Okay. My first one is a new website actually launched today, I think, a couple of days by the time you're hearing this. It's called Cinema Goer. It's a new website featuring like focusing on like beautiful cinemas around the world and also interviews with like cool people in the film industry. We're talking Tilda, we're talking Lila Avilés, we're talking Michelle Gondry, Savannah Leaf, talking about their kind of journeys, but also like giving a film recommendation. It's good. They've got a newsletter. It's brand new. The site's very nice. Anyway, it's Cinema Goer online.
My next one is the Titanic exhibition at Melbourne Museum. Ever yes. heard of it? As I said, it's on till the 21st of April. Okay, I mentioned it at the top very vaguely, but my only note that I put in my notes is plates. There's so much to do with plates in this exhibition and it's really charming. There's one, like one photo I took is kind of haunting and it's like all of this sand that, you know, emulates the bottom of the ocean and all of these kind of like ochre tan dishes lined up perfectly on their sides, like nestled in the sand, which is how they were found by the wreck because it basically a cabinet of like cookware had fallen over and the wood had been completely eroded away at the bottom of the ocean, but the plates remained in perfect kind of like order, eerie as fuck. And then I bought like a little plate from the gift shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of want to buy a whole set of Titanic.
I bet.
Tableware, but I limited myself. But yeah, highly recommend. Save your pennies for the gift shop.
Yeah, I want those ice trays.
I've got the ice tray. You can have some a little boat and a little ice. What's it called? Berg.
Yeah, I want a berg.
In your drink before you go.
That's great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
My next one is what my girlfriend described as me being completely ripped off, but I am here to say it works and it is worth your money. Okay. It is the Byredo lip liner. She said I was being totally scammed because it's like invisible.
Is it like a wax one?
It's like a transparent looking. It's like looks kind of quote unquote nude, I guess. Uh-huh. But anyway, it really works. It's actually like the best lip liner I've found because you're not looking like what was that Japanese trend? It translates to mountain witch anyway, and it was like really kind of
like emphasized lip liner.
Yeah, emphasized lip liner and then frosty lips over the top.
Okay.
A great look. Anyway, don't use this if that's the look you're going for.
It's a little more subtle.
But it works with every single shade that you're putting on. Mm. So your lipstick, no matter the color, is never going to bleed. And we love that. You can get it from Mecca in Australia.
Lips lie bleeding. My last recommendation is for a little TV show called Summer House. Now, we talked about Real Housewives earlier, so there's, in case you didn't know, there's kind of a distinction with Bravo of, like, grown-up Bravo and, like, you know, I don't know, I think they call them, like, young Bravo, and that's, like, Vanderpump Rules, that's Southern Charm, that's Summer House. I've been on the Summer House bandwagon for many years. It's really good this season, at the same time that Vanderpump Rules is fucking losing me with every passing week. Who could have guessed that a year after a giant great season and scandal where everyone got really famous, who was desperate to be famous, wouldn't know what to do with it and can't make good TV anymore. Who could have guessed? Certainly not me. But Summer House is thriving. They finally cast new straight men to be in the Summer House who people actually want to make out with or date or fuck, which is, if you've been with Summer House from the beginning, you know, is like a miracle. Usually they're the weirdest guys. They're the weirdest guys, Kate. But now there's a guy called West whose mum's a gynecologist and his dad's a rodeo bronco horse rider. He works for Complex. He's like a sports journalist in New York. I am obsessed with West. Loving Summer House. Highly recommend. You could start from this season if you wanted to, but it does chart the end of two of the housemates who were best friends and then started dating and then got engaged. It is following the breakdown of their relationship. So you might want to go back a few seasons to catch up.
Okay.
Very passionate about my Summer House.
And West, apparently. Mm-hmm. Go West. I don't know if life is peaceful there. It doesn't sound like it. My last one is the Bagu Cloud Carry-On, specifically in black. I have used a Bagu Cloud bag as my carry-on, my faithful carry-on, for years and years and years, just because it's quite small. But I got it in lilac. It was on sale many years ago. It tends to get a little rough around the edges towards the end of every trip, and it didn't have like quite enough room when you were chucking things on, like, you know, picking up those Nivea's in the German airport, you know, like, oh, there's got to be room for them.
She needs to buy a lot for me.
So I wanted something a bit more roomy, that had shape, but also can fold up into itself. So it's really tiny if you need, and I wanted to have like a band on the back of it so you can slide it over your and tootle through the airport, you know.
Slide it over your July.
Yeah. And I was doing some research because I was like, I need an upgrade. I travel all the time. This is actually like an important thing that I need. And I was talking with my friend Lisa and we were both like, oh, actually, you just want cheap because it's going to get fogged up on the planes.
Yeah.
And then ended up going back to Bagu just in a slightly different style, but it's great because it's nylon. It's not structured at all. You can throw it in the washing machine. It's sturdy, it's like the most practical thing that I could buy. And I actually used it fully as my only bag when I went to Byron last week. Mm. And it was great.
Thanks so much for listening. If it's been a little while that you've been listening and enjoying the podcast, we would really love it if you shared it with your friends, shared it on Instagram, told people about us, wrote a little review on Apple Podcasts. Any way that you want to get the word out and refer people to the pod, we'd really appreciate it because, as you know, we're making more episodes, putting stuff behind the paywall, and the more people listening, the more fun it is.
Totally. And we'll just keep doing it, of course, if there are listeners.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to put anything on Instagram. We're going to keep doing it regardless, but it would be nice if there were more people on the other side of it, you know?
Absolutely. And yeah, join the Hog Hive, why don't you? It's pretty cheap every month, and that's patreon.com/seealso. Thanks as ever to Samuel Hodge for the imagery and Harvey Sutherland for our original theme music.
See you next week for Love Lies Bleeding.
Oh my God, I'm still getting over it and I've seen it twice.
Biceps up.
Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.